Well, look who it is.
KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
97.5.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon. And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Hunter. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Over Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're getting ready. We're getting pumped for tomorrow. It's the round of 16, France and Argentina, Uruguay and Portugal. We're going to be out at the Gorgeous Gale tomorrow. Get down there. It's going to be a World Cup party, I'm telling you. We are going to have some fun, and I'm telling you, I cannot wait to see France and Argentina, Uruguay and Portugal. Superstars everywhere scattered across these teams. Two tremendous matchups, and two heavy hitters are getting dropped tomorrow in the round of 16. So get out to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. We're going to have the ESPN promo team there. We are also going to, I've got a bunch of Soccer Matters gear now, T-shirts and mugs. We're going to have that out there, and we're going to have a good time. Be some live guests. We'll do post-match analysis, and we'll break it down. We'll open the phone lines up, and we'll party down there and make it fun, because that's what the World Cup is all about. It's a soccer celebration, and we're going to milk it for every bit we can. So that leads me to my next guest, which is perfect here. Become good friends. They're great supporters of soccer here in Houston. They are from Liberty Kitchen. It is Lance Fegan, Carl Eves. Now, here's the caveat. They have brought food up here tonight. And you've heard me talk about the Liberty Kitchen food. So we're all out there sampling things. And we came up with a little sort of World Cup food segment we're going to do here with Lance and Carl. So first off, Lance, thank you for being up here.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Carl, thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
Of course, Carl, long time in the community with the HFA and he's got his England jersey on. It's an old-school Umbro one, which I like. I'm going to see if I can barter that one away. All right, so let's talk. So you guys came up with a really cool concept. We're talking Colombia, we're talking England, we're talking Mexico. Go for it, Lance.
We have an executive lunch menu at the Heights, and a couple of months ago we started launching that menu, and partly I thought about it. I said, well, you know, we're going to run this through the summer. Maybe we can tie this into to the World Cup, and I have some connection with Colombia and Mexico, and the two of my favorite places on earth. And then, of course, Carl, my dearest partner here, is from England. So I was like, well, let's get some dishes on the menu that might represent that. And then I think it brings a critical question for us: is how are we going to paint the big red cock?
Yeah, well, we got our annual 4th of July.
Well, you got to explain what that is listeners.
Yeah. It's the BRC guys, yes. In brackets. it's a giant rooster that used to be at the BRC, Gastro Pub, over there on Shepherd. And we've moved it around from restaurant to restaurant over the last year or two, and continues to get painted. Still painted in the Gay Pride rainbow colors right now to the end of the month. We have Gay Pride month this month. But we are going to do the 4th of July, but the week following, for the last week of the World Cup, we'll have the World Cup logo on this. So
you got to let me know when it goes.
We will, and come by and take your photograph over.
And when the Astros won the World Series, it was painted in
we
Astros
sure did.
Color.
When the Dynamo did well, we did it orange.
You had the beard on there with the James Harden.
We did. We had the James Harden.
That was interesting. Yeah. That was interesting.
We don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah. No, but that location was the first one that I got introduced to your restaurants, mm-hmm. and I loved it. Because it had kind of the Austin feel, yeah. and I remember I had had a hip replacement, so I used to go over there and sit out in the sun on the little outdoor area, and had some great meals over there, and just I was a regular. I think I was going there like six times a week. It was like, whoa, this guy's here again on crutches.
Well, I just got to add to the menu. We really wanted to do four dishes, and we was thinking about doing bratwurst and sauerkraut.
Don't take a dig at the Germans now.
Unfortunately, Germany didn't make it.
Don't do that to me. My mother's name is Nesselhoff.
Yeah. So we did pretty good though. The three that we put on there, they're passing through. So.
I think the three, you got to. But let's talk a little, Carl. Colombia, mm-hmm. England. These are two very distinctively different styles.
Serious game, coming up, and you know, just going back to the game before, you know, we was playing Belgium, and Colombia had their game, and I don't think any team really wanted to win that game. I mean, if you look at the brackets right now, where England ended up, we're no brackets easy. We're on the right side of the bracket. We still have Spain to contend with, and Croatia, probably one of my favorite teams in the World Cup. They're there. But if you look at how stacked that other side of the bracket is, I think England are quite happy to be where they are.
By the way, you mentioned Croatia. I had done one of their games. Very tough.
Oh.
Tough team, but a team that is, you know, I notice more and more people are talking about them and what Luka Modric has done and how they've grown in this tournament as well. And a lot of people are, you know, it's flying off people's
Serious
tongues very
team,
quickly.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about that Colombian dish that I tried out there, Lance.
So that's a stuffed pepper, basically beef and rice in a sweet bell pepper that we roasted, and then we cover it with a sauce called sauce hogao, which is basically onion, garlic, and tomatoes simmered down with like saffron and cumin. It's a very rich dish.
Ooh.
And I had it in January when I was down in Cartagena surfing down there, and they turned me onto that dish, and so we brought it back up here.
That's the cool thing about you. You're like, I have a brother that's a huge diver, goes all over the world diving, World War II wrecks. This is his passion. I know surfing is with you, and you've combined it with food, so you get to go to these great countries, but they're countries that have incredible cuisine.
The incredible cuisine, and then tack on the culture. And I think that's one of the most dynamic things that I've sort of fallen in love with soccer over the years is not only the game, but the culture thing is just...
Yeah, you see it because you've been to these South American countries and spent a lot of time in
Mexico.
It's
insanity at the highest level, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with that part. And again, that's what I think makes our food so sort of authentic is because we really delve into the cultural aspect.
And the nationalistic pride is just incredible. I mean, you look at what Morocco did in this World Cup, what it meant to their country, Iran, teams that competed and bridged the gap of talent with collective well-drilled units and tactics and things like that. You know, my travels, I've been the most fortunate guy on the planet because, you know, when I was playing professionally here, we would play teams from other countries here. We never traveled. Mm-hmm. I become a commentator, and I'm calling games in Guatemala City and Mexico and it just gives you experiences that you never forget. El Salvador, I called the U.S. and Germany before the 2006 World Cup. I'll never forget it. I go to the German practice. They open it to the public. There's 25,000 people at the practice.
and they're
hanging anti-Jurgen Klinsmann banners, by the way.
So, you know, I mean, growing up in England, I went to lots and lots of the old days, first division games, then Premier Division games. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to go to Mexico and seen couple of games in their national stadium, the Azteca Stadium. Mm-hmm. I have never been in a stadium like that in England where you have 120,000 people.
Massive.
The sound is massive. And just going on to the World Cup, their fan base in Russia, Mexico's fan base, along with Argentina in Russia, coming from South America, you've got...
No, it's incredible.
It's incredible, the
Latin countries have traveled
up.
To
they
Russia.
They showed up. And, you know, I look at England, and we, you know, barely showing up for 20,000 fans. I think we bought 20, 30,000 tickets for this thing, for all the games. And
well, the U.S. Had big ticket buyers for this World Cup as well.
Yeah.
And obviously because of the support of the number one national team in this country, which is Mexico. I hate to say it, but it is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, we're hoping U.S. soccer is going to get it going again. We got a lot of good young talent. Hopefully they're going to hire a good manager. And maybe it's the healthiest thing that could have ever happened to the U.S. Not making it to the World Cup. What else has stood out to you?
I
mean, we talked about the crazy amount of late goals.
The late goals for sure, you know, and I mean, I heard you say that early on the show today, and I really haven't paid that much attention to that. But now you've said it, it's pretty incredible. I think the big controversy in coming into this was the VAR, and I was very dubious about it. But I'm a fan now. I am looking at these games where teams have walked away from the World Cup. They've worked for 4 years to get there, and teams have walked out of the World Cup because somebody dived in the box. It doesn't happen anymore. Yeah. And people are trying it, but they get caught doing that now. So it's fantastic. I think they made one or two.
And by the way, if it wasn't in place on a lot of these calls, think about how many people would be screaming bloody murder right now that their teams were wronged, right? So at least now we can say, as long as it's not overused, it's a tremendous aid for a referee. Because in the end, it's still a referee.
I think the toughest call, which is going to be human the whole way, still with VAR, is the handball. I think we're really struggling with that still, whether it's an intentional or unintentional handball. And that's really seriously...
It's nebulous, though. It's never going to be a straight...
Never, and I like that.
The only way you can do that is say, if anything, define where it is, if it hits your hand, whether it's... on purpose, natural, unnatural, all this stuff that we're trying to break this down with, it still comes down to one man and what referee, his interpretation is.
The referee, you can watch it on 1,000 screens, 1,000 times over. You can get advice from all these guys on these monitors. But in the end, the referee is going to make his decision.
All right, Liberty Kitchen. We got Heights location. We got River Oaks, Memorial City, three locations. We've got incredible dishes here tonight. We have Colombian food. We have Mexican food. We have the fish and chips. All right, take me into the Mexican dish you got out there, Lance.
So it's almost like it's more Tex-Mex. It's a chimichanga. And I really let the cooks over at the Heights build that one. And I think they stuffed it with fried chicken and pimento cheese, which is some of the...
They don't always do pimento.
Yeah, some of the Liberty Kitchen staples. And then, of course, we just chili con queso and then like an enchilada chili sauce. And they just went nuts. And it's like really one of our best sellers. It's been sitting on that table for an hour and a half. It's still crispy.
You know, I'm not going to lie. There is one thing out there I'm taking home. I generally kind of step back because I want the interns and everybody. But that bacon jam is going home with me. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, you're taking the bacon jam.
Oh, that stuff is awesome. You put that on salmon with some bread and butter. That's killer. I mean, you can put that on anything, right?
Pancakes.
Who came up with that bacon jam?
I don't remember. Like, I think we were just out one night, and I think we all just sort of... figures. I don't remember.
It's amazing how many people are doing it now, though. Oh,
you see it. I mean, we're going back to 2000.
Got to get it copyrighted, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's
yeah.
Back to the BRC.
Ah, that's flattery, right?
It's a compliment.
It is a compliment. And it's if you're ever over at any of the Liberty Kitchen locations or you're at the Oysterette, get the bacon jam. You can put it on anything, vegetables, on the salmon.
I can tell you the ingredients in the fish and chips if you want, Glenn.
Do it. Talk English. Fish and chips right now. Coral Eaves with an England jersey on Umbro.
We got fish with batter, and we got chips. And if you want, you can put some malt vinegar and salt.
So what's the malt vinegar thing for the uneducated American that doesn't eat a lot of fish and chips? Because I know that's a staple in England.
Well, it is, and it's an acidic side of it on a fried food that cuts the fried part of it a little bit. You can put lemon on it if you want. It's the same mentality.
By the way, fish and chips goes good with champagne. Fried food goes good with champagne, right?
It sure does.
Somebody was calling me out the other day because I was having a glass of champagne, and they're like,
so judgmental.
That's not a manly drink. I'm like, are you kidding me?
So
champagne's
judgmental.
One of the great luxuries in life. No?
You drink that
you're right. You're absolutely right.
And what's wrong with
it? You can drink it for breakfast, and you can drink it at midnight.
People got to open their minds up a little bit.
That's how I start my day. I knock back a half bottle of champagne before I get going. That's called motivation. For all you coffee drinkers out there, I'm doing champagne and orange juice every morning. That's a joke. But I like the bubbles. What's wrong with the bubbles, right? What else we got going on at the three locations now? Because these are three unique locations in many ways, because there are some subtle differences, yet lots of consistencies between the three locations.
I mean, we've done a new cocktail menu for the summer. A new cocktail menu for the summer.
Yep.
We're doing a Bloody Mary, a version of a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, and our brunches are picking up again with summer and the kids being out. The other thing, we got Houston Restaurant Weeks coming up. And we have really awesome menus and quite good pricing on our menus to help the Houston Restaurant Week and the food bank. And they'll start August 1st and go through at the beginning of September.
It's delicious modern comfort food. It's Liberty Kitchen. These restaurants, Carl Eaves designs these are amazing. River Oaks, Memorial City, The Heights, Lance Fegan comes up with all the food ideas. Gulf Coast influence, they got raw bar and oysters. They brought some salmon in tonight. Personally, I'm very thankful for that. The mac and cheese is one of the favorites. But as Carl mentioned and Lance mentioned, brunch, business meetings, any of the Liberty Kitchen locations are wonderful. I like that you have – I like the little side area outside at the Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette in River Oaks. That's nice too.
Yeah. Going back to those cocktails, it's one of your favorite things that goes into that Bloody Mary. It's a bacon jam.
Shoot. Now I'm going to have to be a Bloody Mary.
And,
yeah.
And then we have a mimosa flight that we're doing, and then we're doing a mojito mimosa for the summer, too. So some of the summer cocktails that are coming up over there. So if you get by at happy hour, Watch out.
Well, I'm only going to go there if you guys are there. And by the way, they will have their monitors on the World Cup per Carl Reaves. I know that.
Correct.
So you can also go in there and watch games. So don't think you're missing out. Or you know what you do? If you want to go after tomorrow, after the 9 a.m. game, you go
the
there
brunch.
At 11, hit
yeah.
the brunch, and
yeah.
then
sure.
go watch your game wherever you want, or stay yeah. there and watch it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, listen, thank you for coming in. Lance Feagan, Carl Eves. It's Liberty Kitchen, three locations in Houston. Again, hit their locations in either the Heights, one of my favorites, Memorial City, River Oaks. The food is amazing. It's amazing in here tonight. I'm stealing the bacon jam. Thank you for bringing it, guys, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, Carl Thanks, Eves, Lance Feagan, Liberty Kitchen. We thank them very much for coming in here tonight. And by the way, those guys win the Patience Award tonight here because they had to sit through the first 45 minutes listening to me. So we thank Liberty Kitchen very, very much. Now, again, we remind you, the game-watching party tomorrow, thegorgeousgale.com. It's 5555 Morningside Drive. Get over there and take in what is going to be two spectacular games with France and Argentina and Uruguay and Portugal. I remind you, tomorrow's going to be big. You can't wait. So we go to break here. Just remind you, thank you to Advantage BMW. I love the drive of the BMW. I love the customer service at BMW. Second to none, BMW Houston. And that's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Thank you for that. And Bud Light, we thank you for all the great support that you've helped get soccer on the air here. Camila Rojas and company. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup Games. Proud sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 95. And our second hour presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We thank you for your personalized approach. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. They're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We'll also remind you, Good Spots, FM Kitchen and Bar, one block north of Washington on Shepherd. Get over there and watch the World Cup. Catch the World Cup at FM Kitchen and Bar. Go in there and say hello to Ryan. They got 13 in indoor, outdoor monitors, great food, great crafted cocktails, and it's pet and family friendly. And last but not least, the Kings Court in Edo, 903 Hutchins. Sure, there's people in there right now. The Dynamo in action against Monterey. Rooftop Tech, spectacular. Great food, great staff, great bar and cocktails. KingsCourtHouston.com. Say hello to Jay. We'll take a break. It's a Bud Light break. More to come.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Ronaldo through the wall! Cristiano Ronaldo! World Cup hat trick! And with still 3 minutes to play, it's 3-0!
Listen carefully to me, though. Uruguay eliminate the silly free kicks, eliminate corners, don't concede a lot of them, try to take the set piece game away from Portugal so that Ronaldo's not standing over free kicks tomorrow, and you'll beat Portugal. But he is a big gamer. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here. Again, a big reminder, we'll be at the Gorgeous Gale tomorrow. Count them. Seven live shows we're going to do during the World Cup. Starts tomorrow on June 30th. We're going to watch the World Cup Soccer Matters style. We're gonna party World Cup style over there. We're going to recap it live after the games are over. So from 3 to 5 tomorrow, after the Uruguay-Portugal game, we're going to do live radio for 2 hours. We'll have guests. We'll have ticket giveaways. All at this great Irish pub in West University, 5555 Morningside Drive. So get over there tomorrow. I'm going to have some Soccer Matters t-shirts. We're going to have some mugs. We are going to have Dynamo tickets. I'll give some Dynamo tickets away tomorrow. TheGorgeousGale.com. By the way, let me give a pair of Dynamo tickets right now out to Minnesota. 713-780-3776. Caller number six. I'll give you a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo Minnesota United game July 7th. Caller number six right now at 713-780-3776. That's all you got to do. Call in. Win tickets. Great having the guys from Liberty Kitchen, and Carl's become a great friend. Carl Eaves and Lance Fegan have become great friends. Again, they've got three wonderful locations in River Oaks, Memorial City, and the Heights. And, man, we've been nibbling on food out there, so that's a wonderful thing. Uruguay, Portugal. Diego Godin, Jose Maria Jimenez, the two center backs, will be dealing with Ronaldo tomorrow. 713-780-3776. Anything you want to talk about on the World Cup right now? 713-780-3776. We have talked about the trend of all the late goals in this World Cup. Six of France's last seven World Cup goals have all come in the second half. So speaking of late show, late heroics, that's where it's at. Hugo Lloris in goal. It's a team that's going to put out some ridiculous talent. N'Golo Kante, Kylian Mbappe, Olivier Giroud, Antoine Griezmann. I mean, listen to the names on the French national team. Paul Pogba, Ralph Varane, Samuel Umtiti, Steven Nzonzi. I mean, look at the names here. It's incredible. Ridiculous amount of talent. Do you think Argentina is going to be a team that's going to really respond from this result over Nigeria and this sort of second life that they've been able to gather here in the World Cup? Do you think they are going to be able to, you know, turn that into now a run here? Or is it all smoke and mirrors? Is it all a bit of a tease and they're going to get knocked out tomorrow by France? You tell me. France, with all their talent, have they really wowed us? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. I put out some of my favorite goals in this World Cup. Chucky Lozano, I put number one for Mexico. Number two, I put Nacho from Spain. Number three, Lionel Messi of Argentina. Number four, Shaqiri from Switzerland. Number five, Coutinho. But there's also been other very dramatic historic goals. For instance, Panama get their first ever goal at a World Cup. Kendall Waston scoring for Vancouver. Scoring as a member of the Vancouver Whitecaps for Costa Rica. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. 16 stoppage time goals. Four goals directly on the 90th minute. And then 10 goals additionally scored between the 80 and 89th minute. So that's 30 goals that were scored from the 80th minute on. And a remarkable 20 from the 90th minute on. 20 goals in the first round scored from the 90th minute on into stoppage time. 122 goals scored. 2.5 goals per match. Pretty incredible. And again, you heard it here. This is what we're all worrying about. We do not want to see teams get gripped by fear now in the round of 16. From an attacking perspective, Belgium is leading the World Cup with 9 goals. 4 of those from Romelu Lukaku. Germany, believe it or not, and this is where analytics, again, don't always quantify things. Germany, 252 attacks. Best passing team in the World Cup is Spain. They've completed 2,089 passes. If you like crazy, sometimes statistics that don't quantify things, but that certainly quantifies the fact that they're a very good possession-oriented team. Here's one that quantifies a team that had to defend deeply under Carlos Quiroz. 149 clearances, tackles, and saves from Iran. That tells you they were defending, they were breaking plays up, they were playing like warriors. We did see that. Most attempts, Neymar, Brazil. Most passes completed, Toni Kroos of Germany. Of course, they were dominant in ball possession every game that they played, but they got killed on the counterattack. Most saves, Guillermo Ochoa has made 17 saves for Mexico. Boy, did they get, they imploded against Sweden. They did not handle Sweden well. Brazil, to me, is a more favorable matchup for Mexico than Sweden. Yeah, believe that I just said that. 713-780-3776. Victor, anything going on from the Dynamo Charities match? Dynamo and Rayados, nothing. Didn't hear much about it this week. It's just the most odd time. It's too bad, you know, in a way, because that game would have been so marketable at another time of the year outside of the World Cup. I'm sure there were scheduling problems with Rayados. I would not think that Wilmer Cabrera, the Dynamo manager, is going to play too many regulars or play them for extended time period because the game's meaningless. And the Dynamo are in action against LAFC, who, by the way, have 5 road wins this year. The Dynamo coming off a nightmare collapse on the road and are going to try to turn it around at home. How many times have you heard us say that? This is like the most consistent scenario. Bad road game, come home, try and get things right, go back on the road. Dynamo have had 6 leads on the road in 7 games. It's crazy. They just don't know. They can't figure it out. They can't figure the road out. And it has nothing to do with not sleeping in your own bed. It has more to do with not getting tactics right and performance and all the other things that have to occur on the road. I don't know what the problem is, but it certainly is a challenge for the Dynamo manager, Wilmer Cabrera, to figure out. All right, tomorrow we got France, Argentina. We got Uruguay, Portugal. It's time for somebody to step up here. France, Argentina, Uruguay, Portugal. It's your time. Now, we got Paul Mariner coming up here, the former member of the England World Cup team. He played in the 82 World Cup in Spain. That was a very dramatic World Cup. This is an excellent interview. I'm going to get his take on who he thinks wins tomorrow between France and Argentina, Uruguay, Portugal. So let's get yourself set up for a great interview with Paul Mariner. I think it's time to take a break here, right, producer Hernandez? Yes, sir. I'm going to take a break. Remember, tomorrow, the gorgeous Gale, 55-55 Morningside. First game, 9 o'clock. Second game, 1 o'clock. I'm going to be there tomorrow taking in games. Then I'm going to do live radio, 3 to 5. It's official Soccer Matters World Cup watch party site. So get over to the gorgeous Gale tomorrow. All kinds of heavy hitters like Victor Ariz is going to be there. All kinds of people. Going to be a fun time. And we are going to take in the drama of the World Cup together here in Houston because we are a soccer town. You know that. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. Paul Mariner, and he's got an amazing story about how Paul Mariner, in front of 90,000 people, helped get England to the World Cup in 1982. Let's take a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on. Again, we remind you tomorrow at the gorgeous Gale. It is all happening. Get down there for both the games. We'll do live radio after the second game, Uruguay and Portugal in the afternoon. As host of Soccer Matters, I remind you, the round of 16 is going to be amazing. There's only one thing, though, that's going to help us survive during these early morning games during the week, and that's our friends. Because with them, it's easier to sneak away from your boss, make up excuses, and extend your lunch break to 90-something minutes. So here's to the friends you can always count on. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup Games and proud sponsor of Soccer Matters. All right, my guest now, this is an amazing get for us here on ESPN 97.5. He's been on before. He has represented England in the 1982 World Cup. He is the current color analyst for the New England Revolution with Brad Feldman. He is Paul Mariner, who had an outstanding career with England. He joins us now. Paul, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Glenn, it's my pleasure, mate. I'm really enjoying your commentaries. It's, everything's going well. The tournament's fantastic, but enjoying your work.
Well, listen, when I look at you, every time I read about your history, I find out something new. And you know, it was too bad, because in 1988, I was on the Albany Capitals, and you came there maybe in 90, or maybe it was 89, 90. I missed by 1 year playing with the great Paul Mariner, and that's that forever is going to haunt me. But I want to take you back to qualifying for the 1982 World Cup in Spain. You're an England international. You're taking on Hungary. Rain pouring down, 90,000 people.
Yep.
In your final game to get to the World Cup, you score the lone goal in a 1-0 winner. Just take me back to that day and what that meant to a country, what that meant to Paul Mariner personally.
You know what it's like. Well, playing for England is a lot of pressure. You know, the press are, to say they're keen is a massive understatement. So the pressure was on. We sort of squeaked into the tournament. We played Hungary away, and we managed to beat them 3-1. So if we were able to beat them at Wembley on that very rainy night, we were through. It was a very difficult game because Hungary were a very tough side to play. They had some talented players, some really tough defenders. The blocks were good. They were hard to break down. I mean, the goal, if you look at the goal, it looks as though it's a bit of a fluke. But, if you talk about goals for a centre-forward, it doesn't matter how they go in the back of the net, as long as they go in the back of the net. What it was a free kick came in. I think it was Brian Robson challenged for it. The ball dropped to Trevor Brooking. And it was, as I've said, it was a really wet night, and the surface was absolutely slick and grease lightning fast. And Trevor just scuffed his shot wide. But I thought, as a centre forward, I thought he was going to hit the target, and I'll go in case the goalkeeper spilled it. Well, Trevor sort of was putting it wide, as I say, scuffed his shot, and it just came to my feet. I adjusted my feet, and it went to the back of the net. Some people thought that I tripped over my own feet, and it went in the back of the net, but it didn't matter. It's just, like Harry Kane gets a hat-trick the other day, comes off his heel and knew nothing about it. He's not bothered. It goes down on your goal tally. So, tremendous scenes after the game, and some absolutely stupid photographs were taken afterwards. Me with a guitar in my hand and a sombrero on. So just imagine that in your mind's eye.
Paul Mariner joining us was on the 1982 England World Cup team, scored the vital goal against Hungary. When you look at the current England team now, Paul, what jumps out to you under the manager Gareth Southgate? And obviously there's some youth and freshness in this team.
Yep. I think what he's done is, we were talking about hyperbole for the 82 and other World Cups, but for this World Cup, I think Gareth really managed expectations very well. We always get a little bit carried away. We beat Tunisia, we beat Panama, big deal, so what? And then he makes so many changes. Was that the right decision? Was that the wrong decision? We won't really know yet until if we get by Colombia, which is going to be difficult. Maybe James Rodriguez is not going to play, so that'll help. But the thought process there was to come second, and then you bump into Sweden or Switzerland in the next round. So, whether we're getting too far in front of ourselves, because when you do get into the knockout rounds, every single game is difficult. The pressure's ramped up. But I think Gareth's done a great job. He's worked hard on his set pieces, a couple of little trick plays going in. No doubt that the number one guy is Harry Kane. I'm still not sure about the defence just yet. Whether we've been challenged. I think Henderson in the middle of the park there in the holding role is better than Dyer. I think you'll go with Sterling and Kane, obviously supporting Harry Kane up top. Whether Dele Alli gets fit again, I'm not sure. But I'll tell you who's really surprised me, is Trippier. Trippier, playing that, the right wing-back role, he's done very well. His service and set pieces has been fantastic. He's got them down well. So I think it's a nicely balanced side. And as we saw the other day, you know, maybe a couple of guys can come in, Rashford, Vardy, with a little bit of, you know, change of pace. But the one guy that has really surprised me is Lingard. I think Lingard, playing for Manchester United, he doesn't seem to play with that freedom. But when he plays for England, and it seems that Gareth told him, look, mate, you know, we've got protection behind you. You just go on, make runs in behind Harry Kane, make runs in the left channel, right channel, and he looks a fantastic player.
Paul Mariner joining us here, 1982 World Cup for England. All right, so now when you look at a modern day World Cup like this, as opposed to the one you went to in Spain. And we see how these teams are handled and the advent of social media and everything. How much protection was around teams back then? What were managers doing? I mean, were they keeping you very isolated? Were they allowing you to enjoy the World Cup a little bit? How did your manager in that World Cup kind of handle it?
Well, our manager was Ron Greenwood, who was the manager of West Ham United. Loved to play open attacking football. That's the way that West Ham United used to play in the heyday. And he was a player's manager. He was a fantastic guy. Everybody respected him. His knowledge of the game was unbelievable. It gave you freedom. We were based in Bilbao, and of course, with the political climate in those days, we had armed guards that were around us because it was a very sensitive time in Europe, with the Basque region and so on and so forth. So we were kept into the hotel. Whenever we went, there was an opportunity on off days to go and relax by the pool or to relax and go play a bit of golf if you wanted to do that. But there were always armed guards with you, and so it was pretty strict. They kept the fans at bay, because the England fans are very vociferous. They love to get after it, as you know. So that was a little bit difficult. As far as the tournament was concerned, it was actually a game changer, the 82 World Cup, because we went into the tournament, we won our three games, and we beat France in the first game, Czechoslovakia and Kuwait. So we topped the group. But what in those days, there was a second group stage. So, unfortunately for us, we were drawn against Germany and Spain, the hosts, and we had to move to Madrid. So we were at the Bernabeu playing the games. Unfortunately, Russia beat Spain 1-0, and we drew both of our matches. So we were undefeated in the tournament. Obviously couldn't score in the latter stages. We came very, very close, but we just couldn't get that goal. So, you know, we go away from the tournament undefeated, only conceded one goal, I think it was. So FIFA had to change it, so hence they're going to, the round of 16 there. So it was pleasing from that viewpoint, but obviously disappointed that, you know, when you're playing Spain at the Bernabeu and Germany are always a strong side. England-Germany games are always tough games. So it was joyous, but there were some comedy moments. I must say, the uniform, the iconic 82 Admiral uniform that we wore was made
iconic.
Of polyester.
Yeah, must have been hot as anything.
Polyester's not the best thing to wear when you're playing. We were in the bowl in Bilbao, and the ground the ground in those days was sunk into the earth, so it was baking hot, and so you can imagine the sweat that we lost. I mean, I lost 11 pounds in that first game. The manager, just before we went out, he said, boys, very important that we win this game against France with Platini and all the boys. He said, we're going to play a high-press game for 90 minutes. And every player in the dressing room, our jaw dropped. We thought, you must be having a joke here,
mate.
Oh,
my God.
because it was, I mean, it was, the heat was unbelievable. And you know, the English don't do particularly well in the heat. But anyway, we came out winning 3-1, and so it was a joyous occasion, because to, you know, I don't care who you are, to win your first game and to get, ease a little bit of pressure is absolutely immense.
He's Paul Mariner, 1982 World Cup with England. Italy would go on to win that with 6 goals from Paolo Rossi. As Paul mentioned, the runners-up would be West Germany, who England drew with. You know what, Paul? Do you remember the back then England had, you guys would do a, like a record, a song. I remember that song, We Are Ron's 22. We're on our way. We are Ron's 22. Hear the roar of the red, white, and blue.
You got into the top 10.
I bet.
We did a show. I don't know if anybody is familiar with this show. It's called Top of the Pops. And it was a very, very famous show. It used to show, you know, all the
Stones, everybody was on that show.
So we were going on the show, and none of us wanted to go in the front. So just as the recording started, we pushed Keegan, who was the captain, and we pushed him to the front so that he had to do all the singing, because we couldn't remember all the words, you see.
Yeah. No, so, I remember
there's some wonderful little stories. I mean, we could probably talk for quite some time about it, but just an incredible... incredible part of your life, you know, to go to a World Cup and with all your mates. You know, the squad was really tight, and we had a terrific group of players.
Paul, from a nationalistic standpoint, having had that experience representing your country, knowing what the game means to people in England, and now looking at this World Cup, you know, how much nationalistic pride is bubbling up, you know, as you're watching this World Cup with the current English national team?
Well, I have the pleasure of watching games with a certain Steve Nicol and Craig Burley, who are obviously legendary Liverpool, Chelsea and Scottish players. And the hatred between Scotland and England on the football field is there for all to see. And it rears its ugly head in the green room at ESPN every time we're together. I mean, they're my best mates, but when it's England-Scotland, you know, when England are playing, they want England to get hammered every single time. So, you know, the country, when we were playing, you know, obviously there's no social media, but when we were playing, we were doing very, very well. Our run into the tournament was good. We were undefeated. The whole country shut down. You know, everybody was, you know, either in the streets watching the games or at home watching the games. It was... it was quite something, and it will remain to be the case for everyone today, I guess.
No doubt about it. I was that summer. I was in Newcastle and was staying with some of my college teammates with their families, and it was an amazing experience. It was a changing experience for me to have been in a European country, one that where, you know, football was the priority in England, and to have experienced that was. Fantastic as a younger guy. All right, so real quick, we got huge ones tomorrow. France, Argentina, give me a pick and why.
Well, rightly or wrongly, before the tournament started, I went with France, and I did put a proviso on it that if I'm not sure whether Deschamps knows what his best squad is, his best starting 11, and they do tend to, you know, they've not absolutely, you know, busted the doors down yet, but they just seem to do enough. So I'm going to go with France. Also, another reason why I'm going with France, Argentina, I've only put 45 minutes of football together for me, and that was the other day when Messi scored that great goal. Mm-hmm. They just seem to be disjointed. I'm not sure whether Sampaoli knows his best squad. There seems to be some infighting with Argentina. It's so difficult to write them off, purely and simply because of Messi and because of the nationalistic fever that they have. But I'm going for France. I'm going to stick to my guns and go with France.
All right, let's go Uruguay, Portugal, another one that just, boy, this is a mouth-watering affair.
Yeah, I've, you know, in the Euros a couple of years ago, I wrote Portugal off very, very early at my peril. Everybody at ESPN kept saying, you know, they've got enough. It's difficult to write Portugal off, but I just feel with Cavani and Suarez through the middle, I think defensively they're very strong. They very rarely go a goal down Uruguay, and they tend to get the first goal, which is absolutely key for confidence. I'm going to go with Uruguay, but not with a great deal of confidence. Why? Because there's no way that I'm going to write Ronaldo off at all at any stage of this tournament.
Paul, listen, we thank you very much. It's an honor to have you on the show, as always. And listen, we could go on and on with you, but this is just wonderful, enlightening stuff about your time and how you helped England get to a World Cup. And always love your commentary. Keep up the great work at ESPN.
Thanks,
and with New England as well.
Thanks, man. Anytime for you, mate. Bye-bye. Right.
He's one of the best. He's Paul Mariner. And, you know, that story about him scoring the goal that sends a country to a World Cup. I mean, you think about that. You go down in history to never be forgotten, scoring that goal against Hungary that got him to the 82 World Cup. Great stuff there with Paul Mariner. That does it here for us tonight. I want to remind you tomorrow, I'll see you over at the Gorgeous Gale. It's going to be live radio after the Uruguay-Portugal game. We're going to have a blast down there. We got tickets. I got Soccer Matters T-shirts, hats, and things to give away. We got the ESPN promo team is going to be out there as well. It is going to be packed tomorrow. Get out there. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a few adult beverages, Bud Lights, and have a great time with the World Cup tomorrow at the Gorgeous Gale. That'll do it for tonight. Reminder, Facebook, Soccer Matters, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Also, podcasts can be found at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. That does it tonight for our great sponsors, the Daspit Law Firm. I want to thank them, the personal injury attorneys that bring you a personalized approach. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Doesn't matter what you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery. Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Until tomorrow at the Gorgeous Gale.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.